This is Christopher Walken, and you're listening to the Fantasy Football Helpers Podcast. Valuable fantasy football advice with some entertainment thrown in. Hey, Todd, it wouldn't kill you to play some competitive sports once in a while, would it?
Yes, time for some action. Time for some action. Welcome to the Fantasy Football Helpers Podcast. I'm your host, George Banco. With me, our good friend Josh Mensch. Josh, what's happening?
Not a whole lot, George. Just enjoying this beautiful Minnesota weather and getting ready for a nice holiday weekend.
Nice, man. See, it's completely the opposite right now in Charlottesville. We have just completely overcast and rain. So it's nice to know Minnesota's got some sun, though.
Yeah, it is allowed up here. So don't get it misconstrued that we just sit in snow all year.
Absolutely. And that's the one difference, I think, because I grew up in New York, and, you know, we got snow, but Minnesota also got snow, but I think they got way more sunny days than us. So you guys had it much better there.
Oh, in the summer, it's absolutely gorgeous up here. So it makes the winter somewhat survivable.
Absolutely. All right, well, first off, we want to thank you guys so much for all your questions on Twitter and Reddit, like always. And we also wanted to get to some ADP quarterbacks, which we haven't talked too much about quarterbacks throughout the offseason, really. It's been mostly receivers, running backs, and tight ends. So we wanted to get into the quarterback situation. That quarterback is one of the funnest things I find to predict in fantasy. What do you think, Josh?
Yeah, with the evolution of the passing game in the NFL, there's so many quarterbacks that are fantasy relevant. It really makes for some interesting draft strategies, because you can obviously try and get the elite guys like Andrew Luck and Aaron Rodgers, or you can sit back and hopefully land a sleeper candidate like someone like a Teddy Bridgewater or a Ryan Tannehill.
Exactly, and that's why I like it so much, because you can find value in the later rounds, and the proven strategy time and time again, and everyone will tell you this, is to wait and draft a quarterback in the later part of the draft.
Yeah, I completely agree. My usual rule of thumb is if I am at the top of the first round, in the top five maybe, I won't take quarterback unless one of the top guys like Andrew Luck or Aaron Rodgers falls all the way to the end of the second round, even the third round. So it has to really be a value pick, just because there's so many quarterbacks that are able to put up solid fantasy numbers where you can add valuable depth to other positions on your team.
Absolutely. And I always try to adopt that strategy. Every time I've won my league, I have done that. Sometimes it's easy to get starstruck and go with the Aaron Rodgers or the Peyton Mannings. And obviously in 2013, the Peyton Manning thing was great. But, you know, overall, that's the consistent strategy that I like to employ.
Oh, I completely
agree. Let's not make this real confusing.
Yeah, just don't overthink, like John Gruden just said. Just go with the two quarterback system. Sorry I interrupted you there. But
no, you're fine. I was just going to say, sometimes waiting on, you still get guys like Matt Stafford and Matt Ryan, who, even Ben Roethlisberger, who can be projected into the middle rounds. They still put up just good enough numbers where they can be every week starters for you.
Absolutely. Now let's get into the quarterback situations here for ADP. Looking at Fantasy Football Calculator, just looking at the top 10, any ones that stand out to you right out of the bat? I have a few, but I'll let you kick it off.
Russell Wilson. I know he's got the big weapon in Jimmy Graham. That will be their new number one target in the passing game, which it makes it a little bit intriguing, but over guys like, Matt Ryan and Ben Roethlisberger, even Cam Newton, I understand they both Newton and Wilson are more run-based, not run-based, but they have the dual threat option. So I figure that Wilson would be ranked lower in the top 10, but I think that's more like an upside pick as opposed to the safer pick in guys like Breeze and Ryan.
You know, Russell Wilson was a top three fantasy quarterback last year, right?
Yeah, but he had a few games where he had over 100 yards rushing, and I just think as a quarterback, it's hard to depend on those kind of yardage totals as a runner when you're supposed to be winning games as a quarterback. So it's definitely appealing. Like I said, the upside is definitely there. I just think it's more of a risk to take someone like that as opposed to a guy you know is going to put up solid passing numbers.
Right. I got to completely disagree with you on that, because I think Russell Wilson, I mean, he does run, you know, he does have those 100-yard games for in running the ball, but he runs it a smart way that most quarterbacks don't. It's not like he's running all over the place to running is a complement to his passing game, unlike, you know, RG3 or, you know, even Cam Newton at times. You know, quarterbacks who rely on the run to create fantasy points is always great, but at the same time, I think it's always a risk because they're usually using it too much, or they'll take a big hit every now and then. We've seen it with RG3 constantly. So I've yet to see Russell Wilson and his running style even lead him to come close to getting injured, which is crazy to think about.
That's a good point. I mean, he does do a good job of getting down and avoiding big hits. It's hard to depend on. We saw guys like Vic who would post 100-yard rushing games, and I have a hard time banking a top 4-round pick on a guy who I don't know is going to put up 4,000 passing yards and throw 25 touchdown to 30 touchdown passes.
Yeah, and Russell Wilson finished with 20 passing touchdowns last year, 7 interceptions, and then he had 849 rushing yards and 6 touchdowns. So it's really some really impressive numbers there.
He's a very good quarterback, and he's the perfect quarterback for that system. It's a little too risky high for my taste, in my opinion. But he could definitely be a top 5 a fantasy quarterback, and he has the dual threat ability, and a guy like Jimmy Graham that should do wonders for that passing game. So I can definitely see the appeal. I just kind of want to see how it plays out during preseason and training camp before I start investing a pick in him.
Gotcha. All right. He did have more rushing yards than any other quarterback in the top 10 for fantasy as well, just throwing that out there. But you just mentioned Matt Ryan. Now, Matt Ryan finished, you know, top 8 fantasy quarterback last year, 4,694 yards, 28 touchdowns, 14 interceptions. Pretty good numbers. And it goes to show you what he can do when Julio Jones has a healthy season. And I could easily see, if Julio Jones is healthy, him coming close to that 40-touchdown mark this year. So I think he's one of the better value picks for quarterbacks in 2015.
And he always is. I mean, Matt Ryan is a kind of a guy that is overlooked because he doesn't the team.
He has inconsistency problems, though.
Like pedigree, the guys like Brady and Manning and even Breeze do. So he completes over 65% of his passes the last 3 years and has thrown for over 4,500 yards. I know he's had Dirk Cutter as his offensive coordinator, who runs a very pass-heavy offense. But you get a guy in Kyle Shanahan now who has put up really good numbers with below-average quarterbacks. I mean, he got it in Houston. Matt Schaub might not be classified as below-average, but he still maximized his potential. And he even did a pretty good job, I thought, with Brian Hoyer making him look serviceable. But
absolutely. He also adjusted the offense to RG3 strengths as a rookie in 2012, so I thought that was pretty impressive. Yeah,
so he obviously knows how to play to the offense's strength. So,
and yeah,
I think when you got a guy who can throw the ball as well as Matt Ryan and playmakers like Roddy White and Julio Jones, that's still going to be a really good fantasy offense.
Yeah, and if they can get the running game together, that will be a really exciting team to watch. They find, you know, obviously Devonta Freeman is kind of the big guy there, and then Tevin Coleman now, another potential guy. I'm not sure exactly how good of a receiver Tevin Coleman is. I don't know anything about his receiving stats.
I would put Devontae Freeman over.
Got Parker on your mind still. After all those articles you've written about him and how psyched you are about that guy.
Well, I'm still a bit sad that he's not going to be catching passes from Teddy up here in Minnesota.
I know, yeah.
I'm still dealing with that, but yeah. Devontae Freeman is probably a little bit of an upgrade over Coleman right now as far as pass catcher. So Coleman, I think he'll handle the first and second down responsibilities as right now. So
yeah, but gotcha. All right.
Another podcast.
That is another podcast, exactly. Well, I mean, we're really psyched about Matt Ryan, and he's currently going 6 overall. So people are kind of psyched about him too, I take it, just by looking at this.
Yeah, and guys like that, Matt Ryan, Tom Brady, he'll probably fall even further with his 4-game suspension.
Yes.
And a guy like Ben Roethlisberger, who has a really good offense in front of him with Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown and the up-and-coming receiver, Martavis Bryant. So.
And we know Roethlisberger had those two crazy back-to-back games where I think he threw like 6 touchdowns each. It was something.
Yeah,
it was
12 touchdowns and no interceptions.
Oh, so. My goodness.
And the older he gets, the more reliant they're becoming on his ability to win games. So I really like both Matt Ryan and Ben Roethlisberger moving forward.
Yeah, I can't recall a time where Ben Roethlisberger was being this hyped up. I mean, he's one of the guys that people usually take in the later part of the draft and kind of is almost an afterthought for fantasy, even though he is a pretty solid quarterback.
Yeah, and that's the thing. When people invest these high-round picks on guys like Luck and Rodgers and Manning, you get to the end of the draft and you sit there and you're like, wait, how are these guys still on the board? And it turns out to be some pretty dang good value picks who could eventually be your starting quarterbacks going into the end of the year.
Absolutely. And Ben Roethlisberger, I mean, last year, in 2013, you know, he was only in, like, the top 15 of quarterbacks. So, I mean, he's never really been a high statistical guy. I mean, last year was the first year I think we really saw him put up, like, those big-time numbers. So, I think that's partially why he's always been overlooked. But last year he just had an amazing season, and that's why he's, you know, where he is right now in ADP.
Yeah, I mean, he was on pace to throw for over... He would have been on pace to throw for 4,000 yards for 4 straight years, but in 2012 he missed some time. But he's still thrown for over 25 passing touchdowns in 3 of the last 4 years. So when you got offensive weapons like Bryant and Brown and a guy who can catch the ball out of the backfield like Le'Veon Bell, I think that could be a nice value pick.
Absolutely. All right, so Roethlisberger and Matt Ryan so far are two top sort of value picks, even though they're in the top 10 of their rankings. So we'll see how far.
Stock on them, yes.
Absolutely. Now, let's talk about some guys who are going a little bit later that we're interested in. The one big one, we won't talk about him yet. Eli Manning's the one big one, but let's talk about some other guys. Tony Romo on the Dallas Cowboys, currently ranked 10th overall. Tony Romo has always been my favorite quarterback to draft in the later part of the draft that no one cares about.
He was always a great fan. Him and I had a string of drafting either him or Matt Stafford just because they would always play in garbage time scenarios where they would always be forced to throw the ball at the end of the game. So despite maybe not having the best game as a team, they put up great fantasy numbers for you. And
I am curious to see what's going to happen with Romo now that they don't have DeMarco Murray as their horse anymore.
I think they're hitching that wagon pretty heavily on Romo to be able to win games for him this year. And
yeah,
last year, according to ESPN's points against, the Redskins ranked as the worst team against quarterbacks. The Eagles ranked as the third worst.
They were terrible, yeah. Our secondary was bad.
The Giants ranked, it looks like, seventh worst against quarterbacks. So
yes, obviously.
You have six matchups in a fantasy schedule against 3 bottom 10 units against quarterbacks. I think that's a pretty appealing scenario right there.
Absolutely. And obviously 2014 is not 2015. Teams have gone and they've made moves and they've shifted things.
Right.
I mean, Philly's got basically a completely new secondary this year. I mean,
yeah,
whether or not it'll be better.
They retooled it with Byron Maxwell and
they
got Eric Rowe in the draft. So
yeah.
They added tons of pieces there and it should be completely different.
Yeah, and I'm not saying it's going to be better, and I'm not disagreeing with you at all. You make a very good point that the NFC East they have some pretty bad secondaries in that division. So I totally understand. And we saw Dez Bryant, what he did to Philly, and specifically Bradley Fletcher on that Sunday night game, I think it was, and he just absolutely lit him up for like 2 touchdowns, and he had over 100 yards. So it's definitely something. Romo is in a great spot, I think, for having another big fantasy year, and probably no one will think to even draft him, which is always funny.
Always.
Oh, man. All right. Well, we can talk about – let's talk Eli Manning now because everybody wants to talk about him. I'll let you kick this one off. And he's going number 12 for his position rank, and everyone's psyched about him in the new offense this year – or not the new offense, but with, you know, the weapons he has. And,
He gets his second season in Bob McAdoo's offense, which it's predicated on short, high-percentage passes and with playmakers like Odell Beckham and Victor Cruz. Hopefully he can return from that injury, and even Reuben Randall. That's a good set of receivers right there.
Yeah, and so, Shane Vereen as well out of the backfield.
With Eli Manning right now, especially if he can keep those turnover numbers down, because he went from 27 interceptions in 2013 to 14 last year. So it's a positive sign, and I think Eli Manning is in line for another big season.
Yeah, great point, man. Really good point, and I totally agree with you. I think Eli is the guy that everybody has been talking about in terms of he's going to be one of the best value quarterbacks in the draft for fantasy purposes this year. And, you know, I mean, everything that's already been said, you know, you pretty much just hit it all on the head, so I don't really have much to add.
And they really don't have a running game to rely on either. I mean, Rashad Jennings is okay when he's able to stay healthy, and Andre Williams proved that he could get 3 yards and not much more. So
yeah, obviously the big injury to Will Beatty yesterday.
Yeah, that's a big loss. And they say he could be out 5 to 8 months or so. So
yeah,
hopefully he can make it back sometime during the season. But that loss is big. I mean, he's protecting Eli Manning's blindside. So
yeah, that is a good point. Great point.
Does it hurt him? Sure, but I'm sure that when you got a veteran quarterback like Eli Manning, he'll be able to find ways to counter that.
Yeah, and their offensive line has been a problem for a while. They're just starting to kind of figure it out a little bit more. Justin Pugh, a couple years ago, they drafted him, I think, in 2013. He had a pretty fine, you know, rookie season, but last year they really were shifting guys all over the place, which was a huge problem and also really affected that run game. If you've noticed that in the past, the New York Giants, when they're at their best, and this is why I think the Giants are a very smart organization, actually, almost like the Patriots in a few ways. They find the non-sexy guys on the offensive line who really play well together. They let that unit gel, and you know it everything expands outward to the quarterback and the skill positions, and they all start playing well. And then eventually, that's why you see these runs that they have in the Super Bowl where they beat these teams that you're like, oh yeah, I mean, those guys are, you know, when they beat the Packers, who were like 15-1 in 2000, I think it was 2011. That season there, or 2012, one of those years, they always had a really good offensive line and also a good defensive line. And I just think that's why the
defensive line in New York has always been the staple. And they had guys like OCU Manure and Michael Strahan and even Jason Pierre-Paul, who they were able to throw 4 different defensive ends out on the field and just cause havoc to quarterbacks. So
yeah.
They went out and tried to do some stuff to their defensive line, but you're right. It all starts with the offensive line.
Yes, exactly.
That was definitely a weak point for them last year, and they went out and did a little bit of work. Jeff Schwartz, I'm pretty sure he's still there. He's a nice option at left guard.
They also got Eric Flowers, who will probably be the
Flowers too.
He'll probably be thrown right into the fire. Honestly,
he'll probably be asked to play a bigger role than they thought. So,
yeah, exactly.
As long as Eli Manning can keep showing improvements, which last year he had career highs for completions, attempts, completion percentage, and yards. So it's looking up for Eli, and if you can land him in the late rounds of your draft, I think that's a nice value pick going this year.
Yeah, absolutely. And Eric Flowers, you know, he won't have to worry about going out to Miami to take tests like he used to and cheating off my brother in the classroom. But I told you that story, right?
No, I haven't heard that.
Oh, yeah. Well, it was kind of funny. My brother was, you know, in class. I think it was like some science class, and they had a test that day. And he's at his desk, and you know, Eric Flowers walks in, and you know, my brother always says this about athletes, like, they always come in late for the test, and they're always the very first person to leave. So it's always interesting as how that all works out. But
it's because they were preparing right for the test, and they couldn't leave their desk at that moment.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, he's sitting at his desk, and Flowers comes over. You know, he's like, "Hey, man, show me your paper," because he's he's sitting next to him, and my brother's like, "Okay, man, that's fine," but because my brother, you know, he works for the team, he understands how it is. Like athletes, they, you know, they're there to play football. They have a lot of stuff that they do. So he's just like, "Yeah, man, you can cheat, just don't make it look obvious." And so as he moves his paper over to the desk, Eric Flowers is just like, "Yeah, okay. Well, what do you got on that one there? What's that one say?" So he's basically like asking him out loud in classroom what his answers are. And my brother gets kind of freaked out because, you know, he doesn't want to get caught cheating because, you know, he's got way more to lose than Flowers does. I mean, Flowers is going to go to the NFL no matter what, pretty much. So he's just like, "Dude, no, like, you know, stop. Like, you're making it look obvious." And he's just like, "Yeah." And then he starts like scooching his desk over closer so he can see it. And my brother is just like, "Oh, God." So then he told me he moved his desk over further away from Eric Flowers, and Eric Flowers got really angry at him because he couldn't see. And, you know, eventually he walked out on the test, and he called my brother green for some reason. He's like, "Man, you green." So that was that whole story. But
that's funny.
Yeah. Yeah. So no.
Scholars at the University of Miami.
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't surprise me in the least. But anyway, so. Yeah, Eric Flowers. He no longer has to worry about that stuff anymore. But we'll see how he develops as an offensive lineman. Like I said, I'm currently doing the scouting academy thing, and offensive line has been one of the things I've been evaluating the most, and I'm still coming along. I feel like I'm getting a little bit better each time, but I still have a long way to go. So hopefully I can actually evaluate some offensive linemen at some point this year. But anyway, it's a whole nother thing. Let's talk more quarterbacks in the deeper part of the draft. Now, Jimmy Garoppolo is currently going 15 overall, whereas Tom Brady is being ranked number 7. Do you see that changing at all as we get closer to the season?
I don't know how Jimmy Garoppolo can be targeted in redraft leagues right now.
Yeah, I agree.
He's going ahead of Teddy Bridgewater. Being a Minnesota guy, I love Teddy and what he's doing for the Vikings, but the fact that a backup quarterback is being drafted before a player that has Adrian Peterson and Mike Wallace and weapons like that on the same offense, that is kind of weird to me.
Yeah, absolutely. And I totally agree. I don't think you draft him no matter what. I don't care, you know, if he's got a great offense. To me, 2-3 games or 4 games even. I mean, that's a nice chunk of time. But to have him as your starter, I just think that's a really big risk, considering the quarterback position is just a position that you can have out there that you're going to find talent.
Who is really going to invest? I just don't see how someone can invest a mid-round pick on a guy who will only see 4 games this year. So yeah.
Obviously, his value.
There's no way. He's got to fall undrafted in most leagues. And if you really want to, I would say that he would be available for you to pick up in a week that you want to just stream a quarterback due to their matchups.
I totally agree. And unless you're playing like 2-3 quarterback leagues, like some people do, I don't see the point in taking him at all. And yeah, obviously the news
outside of dynasty formats, I just don't see it. Really, he does have nice weapons with Gronk, Edelman, and LaFell, but for 4 games, you're really going to invest a pick potentially in the top half of the draft on a guy who will only play for 4 games.
Yeah, and I think people will get, you know, wide eyes when they think of, oh, Gronkowski will still be healthy and he's going to put up big numbers, which I understand that, but at the end of the day, it's just 4 games that you're going with. So that is a nice chunk of space for fantasy. I mean, that is 4 games, but at the same time, it's just not enough for me to really invest any type of long-term drafting in this guy, because you're going to get screwed. He's going to be benched at some point. So
yeah, I'd think nothing more than a round 15, round 16 type pick. If you really see that your quarterbacks are going to be battling a tough matchup in the first 4 weeks of the season, but
yeah,
outside of that, I just don't see any value.
Absolutely. So, all right, so let's talk about the people that we think are more valuable than him that are going later. Right now, there's some intriguing guys. One of the more intriguing ones to me is Joe Flacco at 19. Obviously, he had kind of a down season last year. I mean, I don't know if he actually had a down season by his standards, but maybe you could illuminate some of that, because I don't want to be wrong. But Joe Flacco, 19, currently going, you know, ahead of guys like maybe Johnny Manziel, Marcus Mariota, Sam Bradford's actually one ahead of him. But Joe Flacco, with the new weapons he has with Rashard Perryman, you got that rookie in Max Williams. He still has Steve Smith. Steve Smith's a tough player. He finds ways to be relevant in the offense despite his age. And they have that good running game still and that good offensive line. I kind of like the idea of seeing Joe Flacco hook up with Perryman on some deep routes, and maybe that jacks up his touchdown numbers a little bit this year.
Yeah, you got to think that Perryman's going to fill the role that Torrey Smith had last year, which that's a big loss.
That was
kind of a, I know Torrey Smith was kind of sporadic for fantasy owners and could cause some headaches, but he was a big part of that offense, and he was the big play threat that could take advantage of Flacco's big arm. So,
yeah.
Hopefully, Perryman is able to pick up the Baltimore offense and fill that role right away. But you're right. He added, Baltimore in general added some good weapons.
Yeah. That's
Williams will add a nice pass catching option with Dennis Pitta likely going on the pup list at the start of the year. So,
right.
Flacco posted a career high in touchdown passes last year with 27, and with a nice young receiver, and you still got veterans like Steve Smith on the outside. He could be in line for another good year.
Absolutely.
He does have to worry maybe a little bit about the departure of Gary Kubiak too.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Denver, because he is going to be learning maybe a newer offense.
Yeah, and we'll have to expand on that in one of our articles throughout the offseason. That's a really good point, Josh. And we'll have to talk about that more and see how that might affect his value. So let's wrap it up the next 3 minutes maybe with just some guys that you're interested in the very deep part of the ADP list here that we got. Because I got a couple that I really want to mention, but I know you probably have a few, so fire away.
When we're talking late, I'm going to go round 12 and later. A guy like Jay Cutler.
Yeah.
You know, he's got weapons like Alshon Jeffrey and Kevin White. He's still Jay Cutler, so he's still going to drop back and have that gunslinger mentality. And when even a running back like Matt Forte to compliment and use him as a receiver out of the backfield, he may be sporadic at times, but if you can add him as a QB2, that's a nice asset, in my opinion, that can be used in bye week situations.
Absolutely, and I think the Bears really hit the jackpot this year with coaching staff changes, adding John Fox, and I think it's Adam Gase.
Yes, Adam Gase.
A guy who, you know, coached Peyton Manning in Denver. I mean, obviously he probably learned something when it comes to being able to get good production out of quarterbacks, and I consider that guy to be somebody who could maybe help Jay Cutler turn it around. I think Jay Cutler is – I still consider him like that person who just has yet to find the right fit in terms of coaching, because the Bears have had, you know, they've had some problems in the past.
He's a smart kid in class that doesn't apply himself.
Yeah, exactly. That's a really good analogy.
He has everything you look for, but he just doesn't want to put it together, and every
right.
coach has been –
And you need that professor to come in and kind of, like, shake him up a little bit, almost like Robin.
They thought that Trestman was going to be the guy, but it just didn't work out. So Gase proved that he's able to work a high-percentage passing game like he did in Denver. Hopefully he's able to transition that over to Chicago as well. So
yeah,
hopefully Cutler is in for a big year again, but a good school year, but it could be a headache as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I was just watching, I had to watch week one game from the Scouting Academy last night, and I picked the Bears and Bills, and just watching some of Cutler's throws and just being like, man, like the first drive, he was perfect. He hit Brandon Marshall, then he hit Alshon Jeffrey, like a beautiful 44-yard flag route, and then he rifled the ball down the seam to Martellus Bennett for a touchdown. It's just...
He'll do that.
You watch
He'll make some throws where you're just looking at it and just jaw on the floor, and then the next drive, he'll have a wide open receiver and decide to throw it into into triple coverage.
Yes, and I feel like when it starts to get bad with him, he doesn't bounce back well at all. It's like it gets worse.
If it goes bad, it's a train wreck.
Yeah, that's the biggest problem.
You can usually tell if you're in for a good day with Cutler in the first couple drives.
Exactly. All right, well, I'll finish it up here a couple more. Derek Carr is going next to last for quarterbacks. I just think that that's way too low for a guy who's going to have one of the best rookie receivers and also showed that he has some competence as a rookie last year.
Yeah, that's another one. Falling at the back of the at the bottom of this list right before Andy Dalton.
Right.
He's going to be throwing the ball all the time. I mean,
yeah.
The Raiders, while they're making improvements on the offensive and defensive side of the ball, they're still going to be coming from behind a lot in a division.
Great point.
San Diego, Kansas City, and you still have Peyton Manning in Denver to worry about. So
yes, absolutely. And that's a really good point. We've seen the garbage time and how it affects players. Matthew Stafford is a good example of the garbage time production, I think, for fantasy purposes. Phillip Rivers at times, too. Another guy who's really good at just turning it on late, I guess. So, yeah, Derek Carr to me is one of the more fascinating guys. I think a lot of people will be targeting him later in the draft.
Yeah, I mean, Carr, he completed 58% of his passes as a rookie and threw 21 touchdowns compared to just 12 interceptions. And
yeah,
for a guy who was labeled as a gunslinger coming out of college, to have that kind of interception ratio, I think, is kind of encouraging.
Yeah, that is so weird that he was labeled a gunslinger, because I consider him to be more of like a finesse touch type thrower. But
it was due to the arm. So people see the arm and the throws that he can make downfield, and people immediately kind of made that Jay Cutler comparison. But
yeah,
I think he is definitely a better decision maker. And when they made some good improvements this offseason with Amari Cooper, who is arguably the most pro-ready wide receiver in this draft, and they went out and signed Michael Crabtree, who,
yeah, good point,
as inconsistent as he was in San Francisco, can still provide value for an NFL offense.
Yes, and now
got a young quarterback, having two receivers of caliber making an impact like those two, I think that's it's nice for his moving forward.
Absolutely. And Matt Harmon is actually a big fan of Michael Crabtree as well, said that, you know, the offense in San Francisco just, you know, was anemic and it didn't benefit him. If you guys get a chance, go follow Matt Harmon on Twitter. He's got some great receiver stuff. So it'd be interesting to see how Derek Carr fits with him. Obviously, we have to mention real quick, Derek Carr, the news that came out yesterday about his I think it was his ring finger. He has some type of problem. I'll have to look it up real fast, but he might require surgery on one of his hands.
It just came out that he wasn't going to have surgery. So,
okay, gotcha.
Hopefully they're able to just heal this injury with some time off and
yeah,
some rest.
Optimistic.
Rehab. But, yeah, it's another big concern that I have with Carr is that like we mentioned with Flacco, Carr has to learn a new offense this year again. So
yeah, go figure with Oakland with their coaching change carousel there.
We know if you followed Minnesota football at all, when we had Bill Musgrave as our offensive coordinator, he was famous for having the smallest play card. So it's not too many plays for him to learn.
Nice, that's awesome, awesome man. All right, well, great. That about wraps. We'll wrap it up here for the ADP quarterback talk. Obviously, there's a lot of guys we didn't get to that we'd like to talk about more, and we'll definitely make sure to talk about everybody as much as we possibly can leading up to the season. So thank you guys so much again for joining us today. And Josh, thank you so much for coming on as always, giving us great stuff. Are you working on anything else this week?
Yeah, we start in the AFC draft grades this week. So I will either have the start of the AFC up tomorrow or for Saturday.
Awesome, man. And I'll have an article about Jeremy Maclin and his potential with the Kansas City Chiefs and what he means for fantasy value for redraft leagues. So definitely check all that stuff out. Thank you guys again for joining us, and we'll catch you next time.
All right. Listen to the Fantasy Football Helpers podcast. Hope you enjoyed it. Now give me a big bowl of pie, some ice cream on it.